I want to take a few minutes and just share with you a little bit about devotions at our house. Devotions are very important. It's big stuff. It's not something that we get out of the way again today. Devotions are very important. We do not just sit down and read a chapter in the Bible and have a little prayer and go our way to the day. No, we don't do that. Devotions are very important at our house. We have ours in the morning because it suits the best in the morning. But if it doesn't suit you in the morning, then I would recommend that you do it in the evening. And I guess I'm assuming that you all do have something. If you don't have anything, I beg you in Jesus' name that you put something into the schedule of your life to sit your family down and open up the Bible and guide them. We have our devotions most of the time in the morning. They last about 45 minutes. And those 45 minutes go by just like that. In fact, many times it goes over 45 minutes and I can sense Mama over there saying, got to get busy and got to get the day going here. And they just go by so quickly. 45 minutes. Devotions at our house are not boring. It's not a dry time where we all sit through the reading of the Bible and get it over with. They're not boring. They're enjoyable. They're interesting. We have a good time in devotions at our house. It's a family time. We have a good time. We'll talk. We'll share things about the day. Somebody will ask a question. If little Hannah says something cute, we'll laugh about it and have a good time. It's not a time where we all sit very firmly and soberly and read the Bible. We don't have them that way at our house. Amen. If you have them like that, well, you need to get them over in about 10 minutes. But if you'll get that out of there, if you'll put that aside, your devotions will last longer and longer and longer. So they're not boring. It's a good time. We just sit together. It's a family time. Sometimes I have to steer it because it just becomes a good old family time. And somebody shares this blessing or somebody asks this question or somebody asks a question about what happened here or what happened there. And we'll share about a soul that got saved or somebody that got revived by the power of God's Spirit. Hey, we do all kinds of things in devotions. It's a spiritual time, but it's an interesting time and it's varied. It has all kinds of different things in it. We read the Bible, but we don't just read the Bible, we teach the Bible. And we don't just teach the Bible, we apply the Bible after we taught it. Devotions are interesting. They're right down home where we live. I believe that's a responsibility of a father to sit the children down with the Word of God and bring verses before the children that apply to their lives. Here's why we do this, children, and read the Bible. Children, here's why women should cover their heads when they pray and prophesy. Because the Bible says so right here. Children, here's why we don't go to the amusement parks. Because the Bible says so right here. You say, well, the Bible doesn't say don't go to amusement parks. No, it doesn't. But it does say, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Amen? Amen. It says, seek those things which are above, not the things that are below. Amen? Amen. But I think it's a responsibility of the Father to do that. To take the Bible and make it a practical and make it apply to the world that the children are living in. And every generation has a different world they live in, don't they? Well, the other day I was out at a mall and I noticed something. It struck holy indignation in my heart. They had a little toy store and they had a dwarf doll sitting there. A dwarf doll. It had long, ugly looking hair. And its eyes were like cat eyes, and they had a real funny glow to the eyes, and there was a little thing written there beside it that says, let the dwarf tell you its story. The story is in its eyes. And I looked at that thing and I said, that thing is out of the pit of hell. That thing has got a spirit on it. Well, I didn't have to face that when I was a little boy. But those are the kind of things that our children are facing. We need to take the Word of God and make it practical for the world that they're living in so they know how to respond to that world when they get out in it. Amen. That's our responsibility as a father. And by the way, if you'll make it practical like that, those children will be sitting on the edge of their seats. Get a picture in your hand of a dwarf doll like that with those beady, hypnotizing eyes shining out at them. And get the Bible and open up and read something out of the Bible about it. And then tear that thing apart right in front of them. They'll never forget that lesson. That's the way we're supposed to do as fathers. We need to make that Bible practical. We need to sharpen that Word up real good and stick it in that little heart so they'll never forget what they learned. So we read the Bible in our house, but we do more than read the Bible. We teach it. And we do more than teach it. We make it practical. Every day. Brothers, imagine, just imagine in your mind, 365 days times 20 years, what kind of children will you have? They'll know the Bible. They'll not only know the Bible, it'll be in their hearts. It'll not only be in their hearts, it'll be in their lives, and they'll live it out. They will do it. Sometimes we act out the lessons. We'll act them out. I'll get out on my hands and knees in devotions and become a lion for the children. One day in devotions, I wore an old shirt to devotions and opened up the Bible to the book of Ezra, where the children of Israel had married some of the heathen women. And I sat there and read those verses to the children. And right in the middle, while I was reading those verses and explaining to the children how Ezra felt, I just took my shirt and ripped the thing apart. I had a t-shirt on underneath it. But I just rent my garment right in front of them. Boy, they know what rend your garment means. And I showed them how much a man of God hates sin and how much God hates sin. They never forgot that lesson. I mean, the buttons flew in every direction in the house. Anybody can do that. Here at our church, we have a children's lesson for the children each week. And we get the children right up here in the front. And then a different brother each week will come up and have a lesson for the children. Tremendous lessons. Tremendous object lessons. In fact, I don't think any of them aren't really interesting and able to learn from them. Brethren, you can do it. God will give it to you. But what you need to do is go before God and say, God, it's a new day. I need something fresh. I need something good. I need something sharp that I can give to my children today. If we have a problem in the house on criticism, we'll sit down a couple days later and have a lesson out of the Bible about criticism. I mean, it's in there, right? Practical. Sharing. Criticism, non-resistance, modesty. We've had lessons in our house on every major doctrine in the Bible through the years. Brothers, your children can have hundreds of convictions in their hearts by the time they get converted. You don't have to wait until they get converted and then stick them in an instruction class. That's a cop-out. They shouldn't even need an instruction class. If we're doing our responsibilities and doing our job right, they ought to have all their convictions settled and just walk right in, repent of the needs in their life, and repent of their sins and trust Christ as their Savior and take off for God from there. That's the way it should be. If we'll just do our job and narrow up that child in the way that they should go, inch by inch, day by day, a little here, a little there, precept upon precept, line upon line, day by day by day. Amen. So we act out the lessons and we come up with all kinds of them. One day while we were sitting in devotions, I heard a snap, just like that, and I knew what it was. A mouse just got caught in the trap. I changed my devotion. I went over to the cupboard, I opened up the cupboard door, pulled that thing out of there, and I had a trap with a mouse on it right there, and a little bit of blood on the mouse's mouth, and we had a lesson about sin and how it can snare you and trap you and get you before you even know what's going on. Why not? Why pass up such a teachable moment as that? All I'm saying is that God will help you to start thinking like a teacher if you'll get before Him and say, God, I want to be a teacher. He'll help you to think like a teacher. In this room are dozens and dozens of illustrations that we could use tonight. I mean, we could turn off all the lights and talk about the darkness in the world and flip them back on and talk about Jesus, the light of the world. We could do it. There are many, many of them here. Put a chair down and teach the children what it means to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the chair. There's so many of them. We have a marker board in our room where we have devotions. And we use that some too. I'm no artist, and the children will agree with that. But I mean, we make stick people on there, and we'll write a word down here, and I'll put a Greek word up there, and the children don't know what it is. And oh, we just have all kinds of interesting devotions that way, just with a little marker board and a marker that you can write on the board with. A lot of times, A lot of times, nothing. Most of the time, we have open discussion in our devotions. Open discussion. The children know they have to raise their hands, or they're not allowed to talk. But the hands will go up, and somebody will have this to say. Someone else have another comment. This one, this one. Now it's little Hannah. She puts her hand up and says something. It doesn't relate at all to what we're saying. But I mean, she's following the example. And her hand goes up and she'll say something, you know, and on it goes. And we'll use questions to keep their attention and stimulate their minds. I'll ask them questions that I know they don't know the answers to. I'll ask them on purpose. Get their minds going and thinking. What about this? What do you think? Daniel, what do you think? Rebecca, come on. What do you think? They'll start searching, groping for an answer. By the way, you can keep their attention that way pretty well, too. I remember when Samuel was a little fella, and I'd see his mind wavering off, and he wasn't paying attention, and I'd ask him a question. And, of course, the answer to every question was God, you know. And you'd ask him a question, and he'd get his attention back and say, God. It's God. So we have open discussion. We ask questions. We change direction anytime. Anytime. I might have a devotion on my heart, and all of a sudden somebody will make a statement, and I'll see, hey, that there, that is worth, we're going after that one, and we'll just change directions right in the middle of a devotion, and I'll come back tomorrow and give the one that I had. Flexibility! At our house, Father is in the center. We just get a chair out in the middle of the room, and I put all the children on the couch right in front of me, and I'm sitting right here in front of them, and I've got my Bible in my hand, just like this, and we're teaching. We don't sit around the table. I'm not against it, but it's just not very teachy to me to sit around the table. I like to sit right down in front of the children and a few feet away from them and begin to teach them. We sing songs and devotions. We have a good time singing. The children like singing. I taught all of them how to sing. I don't know anything about notes, but I do know how to sing with all my heart. And I taught the children how to sing with all their heart. And they like singing and they enjoy it. We have a good time singing. We usually sing hymns. And then lately here with little Hannah coming on, why, we usually have a little song for her, you know, something with some action in it. Only a boy named David, only a little sling, and the whole family will get right into that thing. Put our hand out, only a boy named David, only a little sling, only a boy named David, but he could pray and sing, and we all go through the motions, and Hannah just loves it. We have a good time in devotion. We enjoy ourselves. One of the children learned a new poem. We might have them stand up in devotions and quote the poem to the rest of us. We have prayer. We always have prayer at the end of devotions. The children pray. We teach each one of the children how to pray. I mean, when they're little, when they can just start learning how to talk, we'll get them down. I mean, they want to get on their face anyway because everybody else is. But we'll get them down on their face, and I'll get right up next to them and say, okay, Hannah, it's time for Hannah to pray. Hannah, pray after Papa. Oh, God. And she'll pray, oh, God. Help me to be a good girl. Help me to be a good girl. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Help me to obey Papa and Mama. In Jesus' name, amen. That's how we start. And it doesn't take long. If you just work with them like that, before you don't have to lead them on anything. Now Hannah prays extemporaneous. You don't tell her anything. In fact, she'll lead out and say, all right, we're going to have prayer today. And anybody who feels led to pray can pray. Boom! There's Hannah right there. First one to pray. And I mean, she prays things that mean things. You know she knows what she's praying about. And baby Esther, she's there. She's 8 months old. She's been there for 8 months. She usually gets nursed sometime during the lesson. Try to hold her up. Now she sits on Mama's lap while we sing. She likes the singing. She doesn't understand a lot what's going on, but she knows there's something special going on here. There's something special going on. There's singing going on. There's a special book that's being lifted up every day and talked about. By the way, I'll just share this with you. Our process for training the children to sit in church, we do it all at home. It's all done at home. I got the thing all down to a system. You got these children on the couch, and then a new baby comes, and the new baby is in devotions from day one, and she's there, and she hears the singing, she hears the word being preached and taught, She hears the prayers and all those things. She nurses while the Bible's being read so that she's not out of order, but quiet while we're reading. And there she is. And finally she gets to the place where she can sit on Mama's knee while the singing is going on. Then back to nursing for the Bible. Then finally she gets weaned. And when she gets weaned, she moves from Mama's place. She goes on to Papa's knee. And she sits on Papa's knee while we sing the songs. And when we get done singing the songs, there's a little seat right over here where she sits right next to Papa so that he can watch over her while we're having the lesson. And if she gets the fidgeting, he'll just tap her a little bit on the leg and she'll sit real still. And all the while she's looking forward to that day when she can get her place over there on that couch where the big children sit. And we just move them along like that, move them over, and then take this one and put her there, and then take another one off of Mama's knee and put her right here, and over here, and then right there on the couch. Hey, it's not hard to get them to sit in church when they sit at home like that 45 minutes every day. It's not hard at all. They don't know anything else. They don't even know they're supposed to be fidgety and discontent and all those things. But I really enjoy that. We're running out of room on the couch. A couple things about singing. You want your children to sing hymns? Here, I'll give you a way that you can have your children singing the solid hymns that are filled with doctrine and life and revival truths. You can get your children singing those songs just simply by choosing about 5 or 6 songs and say, all right, we're going to sing these 6 songs. 2 today, 2 tomorrow, 2 the next day. Then 2, then 2, then 2. You sing those for a while, and pretty soon you'll see that little mind that so easily memorizes things. They'll start singing along that song. When you say, hey, these 6 songs are down, then you get 6 more. And you sing one that they know and one that they don't know each day. And you just keep incorporating more songs in there. And they'll learn, they can learn 25, 30 hymns by memory. Just that way. They can learn them. You'll find them walking around outside or playing in the sandbox, and while they're singing, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing at 2 years old. Isn't that a blessing? I mean, that mind is empty. I'm going to fill it full of everything that's godly that I can while I have the opportunity. And I think we need to. If you're here this evening and you think that it's the church's responsibility to catechize your children, I think you're wrong. It's the church's responsibility to reaffirm what you've been teaching the children at home. A second voice in their little mind. Yep, Papa taught us that at home. Now here it is on Sunday morning. That's what the church is for. It's our responsibility to catechize our children. Day by 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 day. Catechize those children. What would you have if you did that 365 days a year for 20 years? What would you have? You see, there really are more books on the home than there ever were in America. More seminars, more tapes, more sermons than there ever were before. But look at the homes. Somehow or another, there's a breakdown there, and I believe it's in the commitment. I believe it's in the commitment. All right, I want to shift directions here a little bit now. We've been talking about training our children, teaching our children. Up to this point, it's been on the instructional level. But there's another very important method that God wants us to use to teach and train our children, and that is by example. By example. We want to talk about the power of an enthusiastic example in our homes. The power of enthusiasm. Everyone knows that enthusiasm is very powerful. And maybe that sounds like maybe a little bit of a worldly term to you. Well, the world stole it from God. That's what they've done. It originated with God. In fact, the Greek word for enthusiasm is enthusiasmos. It means God-incitedness. The root word is entheos. En-theos. En, in the English, is in, and theos is God. Enthusiasm is God-incitedness, or being motivated and stirred and inspired by the Spirit of the living God. That's what enthusiasm is all about. Now, the world robbed it, and they use it for all kinds of things, but true enthusiasm comes from God. we are in the best place that we could ever be to be enthusiastic because God lives inside of us. Amen? Here's a few synonyms, and these are Bible words for enthusiasm. Wholeheartedness, fervent, spirited, eager, and zealous. Those are synonyms of the word enthusiasm. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily unto the Lord. Whatsoever you do, do it with enthusiasm unto the Lord. Whatsoever you do, do it being motivated by the Spirit of God unto the Lord. That's what that verse means. And now we're talking about training our children, and we're talking about the power of an enthusiastic, godly example in the home. Now, we all know that enthusiasm is contagious. Do you know anyone who's enthusiastic? Isn't it contagious? Somebody that's filled with enthusiasm can walk into a room full of deadheads and have them all excited in 15 minutes. Enthusiasm is contagious. Now, I'd like to relate all that to your home. What we get excited about, they will get excited about. Whatever we get excited about, our children will get excited about, and they will give their will over to it. We talked last night about training the will of the child with this, and a couple of people said to me after the service, they didn't even feel good when I had that rod in my hand. It just seemed out of order to have it in my hand. Makes them feel uncomfortable. Well, if this makes you feel uncomfortable, I'm going to present to you another way that you can train your child. And that's by the power of a godly, enthusiastic example in your house. Whatever you get excited about, your children will get excited about and give their will over to it without any discipline. Let's turn to Psalm 112. We read this verse the other evening, but I want to look at it again in light of this principle to show you that we are talking about a Bible principle. Psalm 112, verse 1 and 2. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. There I get the picture of a man who fears God and is excited about the Word of God. That's what I see there. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord and delights greatly in His commandments. When you delight greatly in something, can you hide it? When you delight greatly in something, can you keep it from everybody else? No way. When I read these verses, I see a man of God in his house who is excited about being a Christian. He loves to pray, and his children know it. He loves to go to church, and his children know it. He loves the Bible, and his children know it. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord and delights greatly in His commandments. His seed, his children, they'll be mighty upon the earth. His children will see that man who just enjoys the Bible and enjoys the Word of God and enjoys obeying the Bible. They'll see that father enjoying the Bible. They'll see that mother enjoying the Bible, and they'll watch them and they'll say, boy, they are sure excited about that. That's the way I'm going. Mom and Dad sure do like to pray. I want to pray. Mom and Dad like to read the Bible. I want to read the Bible. I mean, if they're excited about it, then I want to do it. There must be something good in it. That's the way children are. The power of enthusiasm. Even in the natural, it works that way. How many sons take on the profession of their father because their father thoroughly enjoys his profession? And the son watches that and says, hey, I'm going to do what Dad does. He likes it. It's fun. I'm going to be a carpenter like Dad. I know a father who hates to work. You know what? His son doesn't like to work either. I know a mother who hates to clean house. You know what? She has two daughters that don't like to clean house either. Isn't that interesting? That's the way it works. What we like, they like. What we don't like, they won't like. Someone asked me the other day, how did you get your children excited about doing chores? We used to have some goats at our house. And Daniel got up every morning and milked those goats and went out there every evening and milked those goats, I think, for about 3 years. Someone said, how do you get them to do that? Well, it's not hard. I came home one day and said, praise God, we're going to get some goats. And I wasn't putting it on either. I was just as excited about it as they were. But I came home and said, praise God, we're going to get some goats. I found somebody who will sell us goats. And by the way, one of the goats is just about ready to have babies. And I'm going to bring them home in a couple of days. And the children were just jumping up and down. Oh boy, oh boy. I mean, goats, you know, that's the poor man's cow. How do you get excited about an old goat? But if you grew up in the city all your life and your children started out in the city, why, you'd just be glad to have an old goat. Have an animal around. Well, I brought those goats home and we put them in the barn. I mean, the children were so excited about that. And we got up the next morning to go out and do the chores. And I had two little boys coming on behind me while we're doing the chores. And we're out there doing the chores. And we're enjoying doing the chores. And we're taking care of this one and that one. And when the goats kidded, why then we went out there and started milking them, and Daniel was standing there next to me, and I was a milking that goat, and he said, well, can I try that? And I said, sure, son. And he got a hold of that and he started milking, and he squeezed that udder, and that milk came out of there, and he was so excited that he could do that and make that milk come out of there, and he started getting a hold of it, and pretty soon I just moved out of the way and he just kept right on milking that thing. And eventually I went in the house and said, son, you do it. And he did it for 3 years. Did it on his own. Got up and went out there when it was cold. Milked them goats and took care of them. He did it for 3 years. It was good for him. How did it happen? Enthusiasm. Whatever we get excited about, they will get excited about it. The power of enthusiasm. Brothers and sisters, I don't know if we realize how powerful this tool is that God has given us. You know the phrase. Your talk talks. And your walk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks, doesn't it? The power of an enthusiastic example. The little children, they quote this poem, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. And that is so true in our homes. Our children don't want to hear what we think. They want to see us live it out with enthusiasm. You like to go to church? They'll want to go to church. You love the Bible? They'll want a Bible. Why do my children like to fast? I've never spanked them one time to get them to fast. Why do they like to fast? Papa likes to fast. Even Hannah fasts as soon as she gets done eating. I mean, we'll sit around the table and all the children will drink their juice, and Hannah will sit there after eating her meal. She said, I'm going to fast too, Papa, as soon as I get done eating. But you know what she's doing? See, she's seeing the example of everyone else there, and she's saying, bless God, I'm going to fast too. You know? That's how it works. And I didn't have to spank them to get them to go without eating for a whole day. I mean, they started doing it when they were 5 years old. How do you get a five-year-old to go without eating all day, without spanking them? The power of enthusiasm. Papa fasts. Mama fasts. They like it. I hear them talking about what a blessing it is. I want to do it. That's how it happens. And they give their will over to that without any discipline. You don't like this? Do your children a favor. Deliver them from this. By the power of an enthusiastic example. How come my children want to go to the prayer meetings? There's prayer meeting at the church at 4:30 tomorrow morning. Can I go? Papa, can I go? Can I go? Can I go? Can I go? How come they want to do that? How come they want to give their money away? Never sat them down one time and said, all right, you will give your money away. You will give sacrificially. The Bible says we're going to give and we give sacrificially around here. You got it? Never did that one time. How come they want to give their money away? How come I got to tell them no? No, you can't give that away. Stop that. I have to slow them down. Or they never buy anything. How come? How does it work like that? It's by enthusiasm. Why do they like to work in the garden? I mean, it's hot out there and there's weeds out there and it's hard work out there and you get blisters on your hands out there. But Papa loves the garden.
And if Papa loves it, then we love it. If Mama loves it, then we love it. That's the way it works. Go to New York City. We want to go to New York City. Read the Bible. We want to read our Bibles. How come the boys like to cut wood? Cutting wood is work. I mean, that's backbreaking work. How come they like to cut wood? Because Papa likes to cut wood. We got out there in the woods back there when Daniel was 4 years old and stood out there and looked at that great big tree standing up there. And boy, Daniel, look at that tree. Yeah, Papa, let's cut it down. Get the old chainsaw going and start cutting away on that tree. And Daniel's standing there, you know, watching that big tree. And all of a sudden it starts to lean one way. And we back out of the way and both of us stand back and watch that tree come crashing to the ground. Boy, that was exciting. I agree it was. Let's cut it up. And to this day, just begs, can we go cut wood? I'm sorry, son, but we have to burn oil at our house. I mean, he wants to cut wood and we can't even burn wood. Why? It's the power of enthusiasm. What do you want? I mean, here it is. The sky's the limit. What do you want? What do you want your children to live like? Here it is. I lay it before you. How do you want them to live? It is in thy hands. How do you get them to get up early? Someone says, how do you get your children to get up early? I never told them to get up early. Never spanked them to get them to get up early. But they got excited about getting up early. And 5:30, they'd say, Papa, can we get up at 5:15? Please, can we get up at 5:15? I don't know. See, it goes the other way. You know, I don't know. That seems a little early for you children. Please, please, please. All right, go ahead. 2 months later, Papa, could we get up at 5? Would it be all right if we get up at 5? How come they like dirty hands? Little Samuel, he doesn't do it anymore, but when he was a little fella, I mean, we caught him one time getting his hands dirty on purpose, just so he could come in the house and show Papa his dirty hands. Because men, you know, they get their hands dirty. And Mama caught him once. Samuel, what are you doing? Oh, he got guilty. It was hard to spank him that time. But how come? Because Papa got excited about dirty hands. And he sat there one day at the supper table and he said, you know, men get their hands dirty. It's right to get your hands dirty. It's good to get your hands dirty. I'm glad I got my hands dirty. And Samuel said, I'm going to get my hands dirty too. That's how it works. What do you want? I mean, it's just there on a silver platter before you tonight. Whatever you want, you can have. The lady said last night, ooh, I just felt uncomfortable. I didn't think it was right for you to stand up there holding that thing around all night. Well, there are other ways to change the will of your children. What do you really want? Love it yourself. Live it yourself, and your children will follow right after you. I'm going to close here with this statement. Can we see the three working together now? Last night we talked about disciplining the children, and I trust by the grace of God you could see last night how it works. Now tonight we've talked about training the children. We talked about teaching them. We talked about filling their little hearts full of the Word of God. We talked about sticking it in there and making it practical for them. And then after we got done talking about that, we talked about the power of living out a godly, enthusiastic example before them. Can you see how the three of those together is a winning combination? It works, brothers and sisters. It works. And it can work for you. It's real simple. What kind of children do you want? Samuel says, I can't wait till I'm a papa. I'm going to sit my family down and open up the Bible and preach to them every day. Good, Samuel. Good. You do that. What kind of children do you want? When it's all said and done, you will have what you settled for. I don't know if it's dawning on you tonight or not, but the ball is in your court. The ball is in your hand. There's a grace enough to do it. Here's what God out of heaven is saying to us tonight. He's saying, Fathers, mothers, I have given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. I've given you what you need in order to train your children so that they'll be an honor to me. I've given you everything you need. Now, the ball is in your hand. And it's powerful. It's powerful what God can do. But how many will do it? That's the question. How many will do it? Usually not very many. How many will do it? Here it is. What do you want? Here's this book and it's full. What do you want? How many will do it? We're going to have an invitation this evening. The invitation is to you fathers, first of all, and to you mothers, second. Here's what the invitation is. God, I'll do it. I'll do it. It's going to change my life. It'll change my priorities. But God, I'll do it. For the sake of my children and for the sake of your glory, I will do it tonight. And let's remember, repentance is not a good idea. Repentance is not a good feeling. Repentance is a change of mind. Let your children be a testimony that things changed at our house after that night at the church house. Let your children be the testimony. Let them be the witnesses. So that's the invitation. It's to you fathers. God, I'll do it. And if you're really not willing to really do it, then you just stay right in your seat. God bless you. Maybe you need to see more. Maybe you're unwilling. Maybe you need an old-fashioned revival first. I don't know. But tonight, the invitation is only to those fathers that will say, God, I'll do it. I'm going for it. And then it's to you sisters. Only if that man stands up and comes down here. When you see him get up, then I just want you to come and kneel next to him. And grasp each other's hands and say, God, we'll do it. I'll support him. I'll get behind him. I'll believe in him. I'll admire him. I'll do it. So if any of you brothers feel led to come, I want you to spread out all over the front and make room for your wife next to you. That's the invitation tonight. And I think we'll sing a song just so that those who do come can cry out to God together. While we're seated, let's have prayer first, and then we'll have the song of invitation. Everyone, just stay in your seat. We'll bow our heads and close our eyes. We'll have prayer together. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus again. God, I just pray. I pray you will work. Oh, Father, this is not a revival meeting, but God, there's some revival that needs to be done tonight in the hearts of some fathers and mothers. Lord, you are making us accountable. It's so clear to me, Father. You have provided all that we need. We are without excuse, Father. I just pray, Lord, that you'll prevail upon our hearts tonight. And God, I'm just asking you for commitments. I don't want anybody to come, Lord, that's just going to come because, yeah, this is the right thing to do now and everyone else is watching. God, I pray somehow you'll stop every one of those from moving and just let those move who are really willing to go for it. Father, I just commit each one into your hands and I pray for the homes, Lord. I pray that you'll transform these homes and let the blessing fall upon all these children, Lord. I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, let's sing together. Don't stand, just sit in your seats there. We'll sing together. And if you feel led to make a commitment tonight, you come to the front, make room for your wives. Wives, keep your eyes on your husbands. When you see them coming, you may come. Let's sing. Father God, we just pray in Jesus' name. Oh God, what could happen? Lord, what could happen if all these couples right here, Father, would do it? Oh God, what would happen if every one of them is a John Gerber family? God,
Oh, how you'd be glorified. God, I just pray. I pray, Father, that you would just deepen the commitments that are already made, Lord. I pray right upon their hearts, Father. I pray you'll give them a vision. Help them to see that it's possible, God. Father, I pray you'll change their priorities. Change their priorities, God. I just commit each one of them into your hands. Father, I pray a hedge of protection around each one of these homes. Oh, Father, I pray protect these homes from the enemy who just desires to come in and wreck and tear and destroy all the children that are represented here, Lord. I pray a hedge of protection around each one of them. And God, I pray for these fathers. I pray you'll pour the wisdom into them, Lord. I pray you'll give them the gifts that they need. I pray you'll give them the unction of the Spirit of God. Lord, I pray that you'll do it for each one of these fathers. And God, I know some of them are in despair even now while they're here on their knees. They don't know how they can do it. But oh God, I pray you'll give them the faith in their hearts to believe your word. To believe your word for them, Lord. I pray you'll do it, God. I pray you'll make some men of God out of this commitments, Lord. That's how you train men for the ministry, Lord. You train them in their homes. I pray you'll make some men of God, some ministers, some preachers, some pastors, dear God. I pray you'll do it from these commitments that are made here today. I just commit each one of them into your hands in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Effort of Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.